Blog Talk Radio.
Brenda K. Sanders. Glad that you could join me again today. I'm glad that you could come in and listen to what I believe is a good radio show. One of the reasons why I do this show is because, first of all, I believe that I am an informed person about most of the subjects that I talk about. It may appear, even to me, that talking casually about some of the things in the legal system, about being a judge, about the judicial system. But I come to you as, I believe, unofficially a legal expert in the area, having practiced, and, you know, I had to look up my own credentials, having practiced or working in the area. And actually, it's more than that. When I think of it, because I didn't mean to start a program this way, but, you know, I like to credentialize myself when I speak on something. And I started in the legal field when I was 17 years of age, if you want to say that. I knew as a teenager that I wanted to go into the legal field. That was a lie. I don't know what I think about it now. Maybe if I think about it now, I would have gone on into some kind of natural gift that I was flowing in at the time of music and art. But I did not think I could have respect in music and art that I had maybe in a legal field. And actually, I've said this before, and I'm diverting again, but I actually initially intended to be a doctor. Even at 15 years of age, I was really, really focused, and I got myself a job at a hospital. Going in and out of the room actually was almost nothing, if you want to know the truth. I was a laboratory assistant at a hospital. And after the real lab assistants had done analyzing blood and so forth, all of the tests that they did there, I cleaned it up. Okay, that's my real job, let me tell you. But I didn't care, because if I got my foot in the door, I believed, even at 15 years of age, that I could extract knowledge from those experiences, and then I would pick up something that I needed to know. Right, that's how self-motivated and directed I was as a teenager. And I went into the hospital, I began to work there. Even if I was playing at the laboratory, you know, after everybody went home, it was an after-school job. And, you know, I thought I wanted to be a doctor. So one evening, there was a train wreck. And there were several people that were injured. And it was a really serious place for them. I'm looking at the image that died. And I had to clean up something of the emergency. And I found out that I did not want to be a doctor because of the blood, the guts, and all of that. And I quickly refocused to another area. But I was in one area where I thought respected and have influence. And so I chose the legal field. And I believe I chose the legal field, the name of the legal field that I've used based on my experiences. However, I did not the full depth of the full gamut of the legal area. I started off and I did the same thing when I started to refocus in the legal arena. I found a job. I started college after finishing the 11th grade. Does that tell you how focused and self-directed I was? I mean, I was in a hurry to go somewhere. I did not go to the 12th grade. Thank God I was able to graduate out of the 11th grade and go directly to college. And I did that. And so did my twin sister. And I immediately received and applied for a job at a pre-legal aid agency clinic. I said, it's legal. All you have to do is if I sit in there and I can begin to learn from there. And I did that. I was a gopher. Hello, a gopher at a pre-legal aid clinic. And then they would have that and greet the customers, greet the clients again. Most of them low-income clients. I was just glad to have my foot in the door. Any place that said legal, understanding I'm coming from the 11th grade high school, going into a legal environment, fairly fast. And so I left that environment. I wanted to absorb all of the knowledge I could possibly absorb in that environment and use it as I matriculated through school, through law school, and, you know, through on and into what. And believe it or not, my initial aspirations were to be a tax attorney. I thought, you know, I was just thinking, and I believe at that time, tax attorney made like, you know, $300 to $500 an hour. That's what I was thinking. I even focused on some areas of my study in law school on tax law. Hello? It's really boring. I really, really had to learn to like it. So I made all these major preparations, and in the midst of all of that, I learned how to be a secretary. I learned how to be a secretary. Okay. I learned to type and do legal work as a receptionist, as a secretary, as a law firm. And then, like I said, my work study assignments were all law firms and legally related. And then moving on into the law school area where I was a law clerk. And then, of course, as an attorney and sort of paralegal in between. And I did all of the things as a judge. So I think I worked the full gamut of what one would do in a legal field. And as I worked as a judge, I mean, my staff was always so amazed because I didn't even job. You know, so my staff went to lunch and I was sitting there. I was just doing the first job. I would just mark my files and type up my briefs and do my own outlines. I mean, it was so convenient for me, even though, you know, maybe a little problematic for my staff. But my point is this.
At this moment, when I speak to you here on Setting the Record Straight, I crown myself as a legal expert. And I checked the numbers when I went back to check what day. I remember exactly when I was barred. And I received my law license in May 1985. And so that's been quite some time. I think that's still 35 years. And, well, I've seen a lot of things, and I've worked in almost every area of the law. I did not get to work in the tax field as I thought I would. I chapter S corporations and subchapter and all that. Let me tell you, I never got there. As I set up my shingle and went to practice law, those types of clients never came through the door. And I believe that became so busy in the criminal area of law, in the family area of law, I never got to the tax law endeavors that I thought I would so enjoy because of those major dollars. I know I've been going on and on about this young woman in North Carolina that's seemingly posted. I understood from the news articles that $9 million in bonds for drug charges. And I read initially one article that said it was for drug possession, and I thought, my goodness, what kind of bonds are those? And I deemed them very clearly excessive. And I don't know what venue she lives in, what jurisdiction, rather. But, I mean, that could probably finance the whole governmental operation in that jurisdiction for probably 6 months, maybe a year. Wow, they're really discriminating against that young woman. Not because she's black, but I'm just looking, and was the bond commensurate with the crime? And I believe she's being taken advantage of. Based on some of the things that I've seen, and having a history of both getting my clients bonds and setting bonds myself as a judge, I just feel that those bonds are very inappropriate for that young woman. That's my opinion, and there are those who differ. But one thing I want to talk about is the leadership that we should exhibit in governmental entities. In government, there should be accountable leadership. And one thing we have that has been eroded is accountable leadership in government. We in leadership, we cannot be jealous of other people. We cannot be threatened by people. You know, and I feel that is what's going on, and certainly that is what is continuing in my situation by my leadership. Threatened by my popularity and my viability in the political arena there in Michigan. You can't, as a leader, be threatened. You might feel threatened, but then go and use illegal means to eliminate your potential political opponent. As a district judge there in Michigan, I certainly, I did attempt. I did not complete the attempt because of the illness, onset of an illness that came on me when I was campaigning. I had an ambition to run for the Michigan Court of Appeals. Maybe it would have reached to the Michigan Supreme Court. But what the voters did for me is they ran me in the Michigan Supreme Court in 2012. I did not endeavor to run that at that moment, but I ran a write-in campaign for Wayne County Circuit Judge, and lo and behold, I received at least, if not more, 139,000 write-in votes. So 139,000 people thought enough of me to write my name on a ballot. And I just thank them for that. And so to have a mandate like that from the voting public is certainly something to celebrate. But what we need, a governmental entity that is not jealous, that is not racist, that is not trying to be controlling. Just listen to the very nature of that word, controlling. Controlling. If you do not have the mandate of the people, then you should not be a leader. Because you're going to be threatened by anybody else that comes up that has a mandate from the people. You're going to be threatened and you're going to be tempted to do that which was done to me politically, is make up something on someone, illegally bring charges against that person, and discredit them for illegal purposes. That's because you're jealous, you're threatened, and you're intimidated by other candidates that may run for your seat. Those are not your seats. Those are the public seats. Those are public dollars. And in the city of Detroit, certainly the people of the city of Detroit elected me as a judge, not the Michigan Supreme Court, but the potential to run as a Supreme Court candidate, as I did inadvertently in 2012, when I believe about 5,000 or 6,000 people wrote me into and voted me in, even though I wasn't running for that seat, in the Michigan Supreme Court justice. And they wrote me in also to the Michigan Court of Appeals and every other seat, judicial seat in the state of Michigan, in my very state. And then some wrote me in where I was not actually even eligible to serve as a judge of the jurisdiction. But I'm proud of that, because the voting electorate did do their job. They acted responsibly. I believe they did their homework. I believe they researched me and found me to be a candidate that would serve the community. And that is the whole point about being a judge. You're not there to serve a company. You're not there to serve a corporation. You're there to serve the people of the jurisdiction in which you sit. In our governmental entities, those entities where, you know, leaders, and I want to give this story. When I ran my second campaign, I think I had 5 units in my race. Well, you know, it gets pretty touchy when you're running a campaign. And once I got elected judge, I put great pain to make amends with my opposing candidate. Why? Because the temptation is always there to do something to do them in or defeat them. And so what I did is I got in front of myself and I said, no, I'm going to extend my hand and make a mess with my political opponents that I ran with in the race. So, yeah, I did, again, not have, you know, I did. I fought this temptation to do things that would harm my political opponents, illegally, that is, or to treat them differently than I treated other litigants with lawyers that came before the court. It's a great temptation, and I think the harm is that we have leadership now in the judicial system. The only way they can lead is to control. Control. That means do illegal things to defeat potential political candidates. And it's illegal. It really is illegal. And it's not frowned upon. These are tax dollars from the voters, and they should have the mandate that they've been given. They should allow that mandate to stand and not tamper with it. Well, that is all I want to say on setting the record straight today. I guess something I want to get off my chest there. But I would, again, thank you for listening to the program. You may review blogtalkradio.com/settingtherecordstraight2015. You may email at dkf1233@outlook.com. If you have any questions, if you have any thoughts, if you have, you know, anything you'd like to say or something you may want for me to say on the air. You know, I was thinking today, and I said I planned this format
pretty much been just visiting a week or so. But I would start having guests on the program to further inform my listening audience on various things. Hopefully, some knowledge, some further knowledge to the listening audience. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that in the not so distant future. I think it will be very, very beneficial. Well, I thank you again for tuning into the program. I will talk to you tomorrow and have a very blessed evening.